end up a misfit trying to fit in. This ends when I stand up and see the hands of the standard. Holy is the Lamb, huh? Now we holding you to man up, cause we were made in His image. Start looking at what you came from.
You know, biblical manhood is understanding that God has designed the blueprint for manhood. And so you're not operating in masculinity or manhood if you're just doing what society or culture tells you to do. You're not really operating in true masculinity or true manhood unless you're doing what God calls manhood or God calls masculinity. And I think Jesus is the perfect picture of authentic biblical masculinity. Jesus, you know, he was selfless. You know, he was willing to sacrifice himself for others and for the woman he loved, the church. And so a man should be willing to sacrifice himself and especially for his wife, his bride. You know, Jesus was, he walked in authority and he respected authority. And so he lived to do the will of his Father. But he did not, you know, passively, you know, walk through life without saying, no, I'm responsible here. Like, I have an authoritative mission here and I'm responsible. And so he embraced his responsibility. Whereas you see Adam in scripture saying, God, the woman you gave me, she did it. You know, him being a passive man. We've seen that a lot in our families where men come home and they're passive. They just want to sit down and watch TV. Woman, you take care of all this stuff. I don't know what's going on with these kids. And Jesus embraced that responsibility to the point of taking upon himself others' sin. You know, it wasn't his fault that, you know, we sinned against God and deserved eternal torment. It wasn't his fault, you know, but he still took that upon his own back. And that's masculinity. That's manhood. That's a great picture of biblical manhood. It's being responsible, not being passive, definitely being selfless. And I think those are some key pictures to masculinity. Some people say as long as you provide for your family, that's it. And, you know, any mammal does that. Any animal takes care of his own. Provides food. Birds provide food for their little chicklets or whatever. So it's got to be more to it than that.
Very cool. Lecrae sets us aside on our journey this morning. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I remember going through Vons and Alma was there. She was helping out the checkout and she said, "Happy Father's Day to me." I said, "You too." I used the "you too" phrase at the wrong time. It is a great day, regardless of what we focus on. It is our Father's Day. It is our Heavenly Father's Day. It is a day of rest. And Germany lost to Mexico in the first round of the World Cup, so got to throw that in there. There's a lot of happy people on campus and a lot of bewildered this morning. You know, just recently as a father, I had my proud moments. There's dads in here. You've had your proud moments and then times where you feel like you just got to suck it up, buttercup. But a couple weeks ago, we had a big wedding. And here's a shot of a happy father's moment to hit. I haven't had the whole family together here in quite a while. My daughter Maddie really loved this photo a whole lot. And here's my favorite photo right here. Yeah. Yeah. That's the reality of it right there. That's definitely my favorite photo. Today we're looking at something that pushes us forward. We've been in this thing called, "I can't fix this." And as a guy, you hate those moments. You hate them because you don't want to cede mastery over to hired hands. You don't want to cede mastery over to hired hands. Sometimes you got to. Certain electrical things, I just don't want to blow my head off, so I'll be like, "Hey, Jackson, come over here." Other times, I'm just like, "Doggone it, I'm going to fix this thing." And you get all the way down, you got all these nuts and bolts left over, and you realize, "I can't fix this." It's frustrating. The whole series has been built on pain. The basic premise of this whole thing is everybody deals with pain. It's everywhere, no matter what. It's universal. It is the reality. And maybe your size is regular. You've just got your normal dose. It's just like, this is the way it's always been in my family, and it always will be in my family. And then other people, you got a heavy dose coming on. And it could be that yesterday was great, and today you just got nailed. Or this week you just got nailed, and it is literally loaded. And you have a large amount, maybe a ton, a phenomenal amount. This week I got some news, and no matter what, I try to set something up for the next day, and sometimes whatever plans I have failed. Maybe there's some guys that literally are in complete denial. But you say, I don't have any pain at all. It's not a reality. We think it is, especially here at the church. People are always coming in the door, I mean, even this morning, and looking for answers. I don't think they're looking for financial answers or even food, physical help. I know that they are ultimately, but inside they realize this is a cycle, and I'm going to need more than just this. It's bigger. So I put together this series on really how to climb out of pain. And it follows a lot of things that sound very familiar in our community. It's all from the Word of God. All of this borrows its truth from the gospel. And if pain is our premise, if that's where we're starting, how do we get out? The first step we talked about was literally, we admit it. And that's where this TV screen comes in here. A lot of visitors today, but this represented a beautiful thing. Maybe the way we make our pain look. On the outside, it's pretty sharp looking. It's classy. You know, we deal with it. It's a lot of family issues, but and we'll even figure out how to carry it. It's convenient, maybe to our side here, and we make it look cool. But ultimately, when everybody's gone and everybody's left, we're still holding this thing, no matter how cute we made it look or, you know, it just kind of fit into our life. It's still very heavy. It's very awkward. And everybody's left the building, and I'm still left holding the porcelain throne here, and my pain is still there. We needed help. Let's soften and open our heart. That was week two. God is there. If I could have fixed it, what? I would have. Yeah. So I got to admit, I wish I could have, but I didn't. So I softened my heart. There's got to be somebody bigger than me. And I realized that God exists. He's the one that has the power to take care of my needs. So I move into the third step. It's time to flow with Him. It's time to get into the jive. That's what Lecrae was saying this morning. Our masculine journey is not being set up by the world. Lecrae was trying to say, and he's a great artist, and his songs reflect what he was saying there too. Our masculine journey was set by the Father. He has a female journey and a male journey. We were created in His image, but very different, very unique. I need to flow with what He's got planned. I need to take a look at what it looks like. It's a trust issue. It's literally for men, especially this guy standing up here, letting go of control issue. I like control. Guys like control. It's part of who we are. And there are some things that God has given us to have control over. Dominion. That's scriptural. But our lives, our hearts, the hearts of our family, that's His territory. So this fourth step was, I think I need to honestly look under the hood. I just need to be real. I think I got this thing going on, but understand, once I run out and I'm on the side of the road, there are bigger issues underneath the hood of my life. I need to look there. I got a lot of pain. Most of the time, I bring it on myself. It's the adventure that I did not choose for myself. And I have to look back and say, how am I contributing to the pain in my life? That was a big week. Because it led into the next one saying, I have got to embrace God's way. This is where John brought some good words saying, is God the means to an end? Or is He the end in and of Himself? Is He everything? When we pursue Him, are we really pursuing all that He is and all that He offers? We've got to have God in every aspect. Really good. Last week we looked at apologize. No, really. Apologize. Like you're talking to a kid. We used to force our kids to apologize all the time. That never worked. Been there, done that as a father. Say you're sorry. Sorry. Whatever. We don't just offer it to people that have hurt us, but we ask for it. And today, I have no resolutions for the year, but I have several for today. That's the shortest title I could come up with. Sorry. I was thinking IHNR. I just kind of put all the initials up there, and I'm like, no, I don't know what that means. Literally, this was it. I sat there. How many of you made a New Year's resolution or five? Raise your hand. Good. How many have kept all of them to this point? Raise your hand. Nobody. All right. Whoa. But can you set aside a goal for the day? Can we take it literally a day, what, at a time? I can swallow that one a lot better than the whole cheesecake. I can take a bite. It'll go down a lot easier. We're right at the top of this mountain. The goal is, how do I maintain this? I got this going on. It's working. How do I live here one day at a time, literally forever? I want to stay here. Right now there's momentum. This is where I want to be. I want to maintain right here for the rest of my life. And it's tough. Quite honestly, it seems impossible. When I was in high school, I ran a lot for soccer. I didn't mind doing it during training, but just going out and somebody saying, hey, run some laps, it wasn't that big of a deal for me. I was like, this does not turn my crank. I felt like monkeys in a cage, just kind of going around and around on the field. So a friend of mine invited me to run this thing called the Turkey Trot. It was a local event. They got them all over here in California as well. It's a Thanksgiving run. But this one was a half marathon. And he thought we had a good shot at winning our age group. We were in soccer shape, so he just kind of put two and two together. We had a good shot at winning. It's a local event anyway. Let's go for it. So I was not prepared, but I showed up for the thing. And I literally borrowed some of his shoes, which seemed a little bit too small. They were snug, but a little too small. About a mile or two, I had to go number two. I was hurting. It was just not good. The whole thing was bad, all right? I literally sprinted. I started out in front of everybody. I'm thinking, this is the spot to stand. Gun goes off, which, by the way, the guy that played Frodo fired our gun, which is pretty interesting. Having a celebrity there, I saw him. I wouldn't have seen him if I was 3,000 people back. It was exciting. I actually led the race for about 100 yards. I sprint as fast as I could. And I literally thought I was gaining all this ground until I literally on 100 yards number two, the 200-yard mark, I turn around and I look, and I have all these people literally right behind me. So I finally just stood on the side of the road, pulled off the side. Nobody cares. Nobody cared. There's not an announcement saying the winner for the first 200 yards is Andrew. There's 13 more miles to go. People don't care how you start. They care how you finish. I believe that as a coach. I've had some rough seasons starting off that finished with a bang. That's what people care about. How did it end? So my question is, how are you going to end? How are you going to finish? That's what God cares about too, actually. When you sprint, it's easy to see the finish line. But when you're in a marathon, I mean, I'm in the outrigger team, and I've been doing this for a while. I've actually been steering their boats. And I don't mind when somebody says, hey, we're doing rippers and back. Hey, we're doing long point and back. Hey, we're going to do Eagle Rock and back. Why? Because I can see those areas. I can see, okay, there's my destination. And I just put this thing in, and all of a sudden I start turning this. I've got it in sight. But when we're in the middle of a 16-miler, you know, or even the 34-miler crossing, and you can't exactly see Fashion Island's buildings, or you can't see the floating triangle out there, you know, you're watching the guy in front of you. Who knows if they're going the right way, you know, blind leading the blind. And you just have these two boats on either side. He's saying, just stay between us. That's all I've got. I can't see the finish line. Good analogy. I've got to finish well, so I'm in this journey, and I'm in this race. And so you have to keep going and trust that God's going to give you those boundaries. He's going to give you the power. Life is like that. It's going to be like a marathon that we have to run. Living for God literally is not a sprint. You all know this. You all know this. It's a distance run. It's the journey. And you can say, I've got my Christianity down, but you're going to end up on the side of the road with 13 more miles to go. be patient. It's how you finish. At this point, we worked through 6 weeks. And maybe you started with some pain, you've gone through this, and I know a lot of people have given us great feedback, by the way. Great feedback. Had two luncheons this week. Seriously good impact going on in people's lives. But if we don't start living for God, literally a chunk, a day, a window, and men, listen to me here on Father's Day, you've got to check in to your father. You have got to check. You have a massive responsibility. You can handle it, but you got to check in. Where have I seen that before? Oh yeah, Jesus. Checked in. On a mountain, in a boat. In a boat, on a mountain. On a mountain, on a mountain, on a mountain, in a boat. On the seashore. You know, always checking in with his father. Where have you been? I've been talking to my father. There's a reason for that. Those boundaries are there, and I think he's got some advice. Good advice, because he's the good father. We can go to peace of mind. Like, you know, when things are going good, John Mayer's got that song, literally stop this train. When everything's going good, it's comfortable. We've been removed from pain for a while, and it makes us think, what? We can do this on our own. Here's the big one. If you've got notes today, go for it. Write them in. We think we can do this on our own. It makes us think we've got it. Enough power literally to take my life back. This is where when I'm dealing with counseling issues, even myself when I needed counseling, after a while you're sitting there going, I got this. I'm getting enough attaboys here, and I've got this. Week one was I'm powerless to change my life. Remember? Week two, God, give me the power to change my life. Week three, I'm giving my life to God. Week four is a temptation of what? Taking it right back. Looking under the hood. God, help me deal with some pain for a while. But I got this. I got this, coach. I'm good. Game's not over. I can't take it back. Galatians 3:3. Take a look at this verse. Great verse. Are you so foolish? Sorry. I didn't put that there. After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Galatians, who wrote that? How did that get in there? I promise you that just entered my Bible today. Wasn't there yesterday, or was it? We can't do it. And when we become comfortable with just peace of mind, we're living the mentality that we got this. I am guilty as charged. Here's the next one. I get lost. Temptation is we become lost. I literally am thinking, I'm confused. We literally sometimes get close to the pain, but then we drift. Things haven't happened in a while. It doesn't seem like it's still an issue. And all of a sudden, we forgot how bad that pain was. We start thinking, it wasn't so bad before. I mean, I lived with it. I survived it. Could be a pain of bitterness that you had in your heart, or something when you were living the world's way and it was causing pain for you. Maybe it was a relationship that was bad. Maybe it was something in your life, some kind of partying situation. You just, some really foolish behavior. And we drift. This movie that played just recently rocked my world. The Greatest Showman. Was that a good movie? Was that a good movie? You don't get another choice. That was a great movie. One of Reed's top two or what? One. Yeah, see? Great movie. I remember that. I know what my guy's like. One of the coolest parts in this movie was, I've got this show, man, and it's unreal. And behind him is the supporting cast, and it's unreal. And what happened? It began to drift in that success. And after a while, he got lost. And I actually took this photo from a clip. I don't know if that's even legal. Just look at it real quick and we'll get it off screen, okay? Remember this scene? Right? And he turns around, from now on, the song. And what is he doing? He's looking at photos. I've had dinner. I've had lunch with these kings. I've been with these queens. I've been here. I have done it all. But what is the photo that brings him home? His family. I left my loves. I left my first loves. I've had all this success. For from now on, I'm going to stick to the script. Fathers, are you listening to me? Stick to the script. Stick to the priorities that God has blessed you with. Stay home in your thinking from now on. Don't get lost. But when we do, we start to compromise. We start flirting with temptations in our mindset. We quit going to this, and all of a sudden we start going to this. Maybe we don't start the drinking situation over, but we attend the parties. We get close. We get close to something. We're orbiting. And all of a sudden, a little compromise. The fourth step is oversight. That's when we act out in ways that literally bring us pain. It steers right into that vicious cycle of living with pain again. Living through the pain again. It's so hard. It's better just to stay here. When you do this whole process, you end up lapsing back into the world's way, this temptation. And here's the big one I hear every week. I heard it this week from a gentleman who I wish was here this morning. Hobbs, that whole church thing, it didn't work for me. I gave it a shot. That church thing, it just didn't work for me. Was it the church thing? Was it the church thing that didn't work for you? Or was it we took our lives back into our own hands after we had given them to God? If you're listening online, answer the question. We've given our lives to God. It belongs to who? To God. Don't lapse. Don't take it back. Don't compromise. Don't get lost. Don't. Those five things are huge. And it's a vicious cycle. A few summers ago, I had a very cool, very rare opportunity to tour the LA Dream Center behind the scenes, not just their ministries, but the administration. Got to meet all the guys from the Dodgers and administration that are there for the fundraising. With a good friend named Dustin who had a heart to invest in the LA Dream Center. People getting off the street, coming into a home. They were working them through the same steps. Technically, I've been working with our crowds through the last few weeks. And my friend, Sam, told me the story of this girl that came in. She was a heroin addict, totally messed up, shaking physically. She was hurting. They got her clean. And he was showing me photos of this. They worked her through some of these steps. She started to feel better. She literally started to lead and live a clean life. Then she started getting comfortable, thinking, I can do this on my own. And from that comfortability, she got confused, moved into a state of confusion. Some of you guys are tracking with me right now. You're shaking your heads. You've been there. It wasn't so bad living on the streets. It really wasn't so bad doing that stuff. Actually, sometimes it was fun. And once she went from being comfortable, she went to a place of compromise. Started hopping on the phone, having conversations with old friends, even an old boyfriend. Hooked her up. The relationship started up again. She moved into a lapse in a vicious cycle. She went ahead and used. She left the home. She's back on the streets. And they couldn't find her. They had no idea where she was. That's all too real. In fact, yes, it can even happen in a 1 square mile town called Avalon. The most beautiful town. And such a small town. You may be thinking, well, I'm not a heroin addict. How does this apply to me? It does. Because the deal is, what is your source of pain? Maybe it's a root of bitterness in your life over somebody that's burnt you. I deal with this all the time. I literally this week pulled another root out. Some nasty stuff. Somebody hurt me. And I don't know how long it sat there, but it festered until I tripped over it. I was like, doggone it, stupid root. I hadn't been pulling it up by the root. I'd just been kind of taking the leaf off the top of it. And I had to deal with it. So it made the list today. Maybe it's lust. You're dealing with that secretly. These same things apply. Gossip. Anger towards your parents. Pride. Some kind of partying. Out of control. A ton of stuff. It's the same cycle. It's true for all of us. The deal is, We're all prone to this if we think we can do this on our own power. Look at what Zechariah says in Scripture. Great verse. It's not by might, nor by power, but by what? My Spirit, says the Lord. God alone gives us the power to maintain the mountaintop living. It's a check-in with our Father. We've said it twice now. I think it's pretty important. But it will be better than repeating the cycle again and again. So I'd rather say it twice from the pulpit or three more times than to have you repeat that cycle three more times. Amen? So how can I keep these resolutions for today? How can I make them like a part of my everyday deal? Sleeping, brushing my teeth. I've never seen someone show up to work naked. Everybody remembers to put their clothes on. You know what? There's some things we just do every day, and it's second nature. It's routine. How do we do that? How about we check in with him and realize he loves me? No. I expect you to say that. It's a church. Do you know? I mean, just if I could throw something at you right now, in all gentleness, it would be a blanket. Something to remind you, I am loved. And I need this daily. Maybe for others, I'd throw a mug at you and it'd be your hot beverage. It starts your morning. It's something that says, daily, I trust that God loves me. It's not just a mental place where I am. God, I trust you. And I know you got my back. And you rip that thing off called kick me or your to-do list. And you warm yourself for a minute. Just recently, I had some neighbors and I went out to water the plants very early in the morning. And my neighbors called for me from their balcony. Good morning, Hops. I won't mention Eileen and the Zellers. It's fun being a close community. It was so early in the morning, my eyes were like, where's that coming from? My neighbors. It was a wonderful greeting to say good morning. Put your name in there. I've been waiting to hang out. What is on the list for today, Andrew? What do you have? Spend time with your Heavenly Father. He cares about your list. In fact, he may cut a few things off the list. Sound good? He may reprioritize a couple things from the list. Some things may not even make the list. Sounds good to me. Sounds like somebody I want to check into. And these resolutions become personal. Great verse in Romans. Dangerous, though, because it says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Not even death, brother. Death can't do it. Life can't. Angels can't. Demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries for tomorrow, the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Can I get somebody in here? Thank you. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. How is it revealed? Through my favorite person, Christ Himself, our Lord. That you can bank on. It is a promise from His Word. You know, Romans nails it in about every category. This one right here comes right to the surface to say, if you think you can outrun the love of God, here's the sweet list of people that never could do it. Not even death. It says to me very clearly, nothing can keep us. Nothing can keep us from God's love or separate us. Not even me in the stumbling I go through in my life. And he pours it out on all of us. A ton of people have said this to me. I just need to love God more, Hobbs. Hey, thanks for meeting with me. And as we're parting, right in front of the brew house, they're like, I just need to love God more. Thank you for today. Appreciate it. I'm like, whoa. Come here for a minute. Let's go back and sit down. You're making this up to you, bro. How about you need to trust the love of God more? See the difference? One says, I just need to do this. The other says, God's already done this. Nothing can separate you from His love. If you think about it that way, it changes your game plan. It's not up to you. He has done this. Let go. See the love of God. He's the one who made that. He's the one who's created that inside you. It's such a beautiful thing. When my wife was pregnant with our first, I never seen anything like that up close. And I remember listening, you know, and I'd feel thumps. Sometimes we put music on there, you know, on her belly. And I remember all the fun things that we did. It was a lot of fun. It was interesting because I'm talking to my baby, you know, inside all this liquid, and he's floating around wondering, are you hearing anything? I won't forget it, though. I played a role that was fun, but I did not make that baby. The God of the universe made that baby. The God of the universe. There's such beautiful kids in here. How about you? You are part of His creation. 6 billion people, all part of His creation. What we need to do is recognize our Father and become His child in our thinking. God loves you, and He loves that baby. He sees, He develops. As much as I love my four kids, that's nothing to how much God loves them. And that's hard for me to say as a father. It may be hard for you to think as a father. God loves your kids more than you ever will. I need to introduce them to Him, and that is the key thing. He's got a picture in his wallet of you. Crazy about you. Need to trust His love every day. Number two, know that God wants to meet you daily. Oh my gosh. Psalms 46, loaded gun here. Be still, Hobbs. Sit still for a minute. I'm always squirming. Be still and know that I'm God. Underline, be still. I know I have a problem with that. There's so much to do on this island. And yes, even adventure can distract me. As much as it can bring me into the presence of God, I can also get distracted. I love surfing. I love surfing large waves. I don't mind how big they are. As long as I have people nearby that can scrape me off the ground. But I will definitely give something a shot. And at times I forget the creator of those beautiful waves. I would be better off sitting on a cliff watching that than I would be when I'm in the middle of that and I get upset because somebody cut me off. All of a sudden, I'm distracted. The Creator doesn't want you getting distracted. So He says, be still. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The first part of this point is it's personal. I remind you this morning, especially here, Father's Day, it's personal. You have a personal enemy who wants you dead. I think you need to take that personal. Did you hear me? I hope you did. Because if you don't take that personal, who will? There is an enemy, and he wants to defeat you. He wants to throw you down. And in retrospect, looking back, he's done that to a lot of men. And as a result, there goes your family and maybe even a generation. That's worth taking personal. So where does this start to defeat this enemy? Where does this start to get our focus back into what our plan is and how we fit into this battalion? What is it we're supposed to do? Recognize this. God needs to be with us daily. He wants to hang out. Be still. Know that I am God. I've got your plans. It's a relationship that's personal. When we go home from work or school, first thing we do, boom, internet, phone, social media, just checking in, ultra available to all of our friends. FaceTime. Are we available to God at all? Andrew, are you available to God? Are you putting together sermons and Bible studies? Or are you putting those over here and letting me do a sermon in your heart? And here's a study for your heart. Then you can minister out of the overflow of what God is doing in your heart. Yes, pastors are guilty as charged. Sometimes I'm guilty of studying the Word of God rather than meditating on the Word of God. I need this. It must be personal. And as a father, you want to check into that daily. You can't get close to a friend if you never talk to him or spend time with him. What kind of marriage has separate beds? What kind of marriage has separate accounts? Right? Like the I Love Lucy days. Remember that? What kind of marriage? That's not a marriage. You know, Valentine's Day, a card here, anniversary, a card here, checking in. That's not a marriage. If we're going to be one with God, it's a daily check-in. It's time with Him. I stumbled on this song. I think you'll like it. How many have heard the band Switchfoot before? A lot of you. Okay. Lead singer here, his name is John Foreman. And he penned some beautiful words. A young lady heard those words, and you'll hear from her later on in regards to what spilt her life into this journal that came out and how she joined him in this duet. The song is called "I Won't Let You Go." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray continually." That verse, as short and as sweet as it is trying to say, check in with me. Listen to this song. Listen to the words of the song. Very easy to understand. And if you want to close your eyes, whatever it takes, let these words burn in. Beautiful song.
Like surgery, and it burns like third degree, and you wonder what is it worth, and your inside's breaking in, and you feel that ache again, and you wonder what's given birth. Go, for your soul. None of this is in your control. If you could only let your guard down, if you could only trust me somehow, I swear that I won't let you go.
Sermon series in a song. Oh, if you could let the pain of the past go. It's a personal evaluation. Such a powerful reminder. Pull out a journal. Some of y'all live in the coves. Got some CBS in the house. What a great place to live. We're all in a cove. Spend some time. Find a little spot that's just you. What good have I done today? Where did I suck? I've blown it. What does it look like? What kindness did I show? Who did I hurt? The questions that aren't that important. Well, Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Just journal through those questions. Those issues. Talk about your love. Talk about your joy. Talk about your peace and the things you've done, maybe to mess up your peace. Be honest. Evaluate yourself every day. God wants to meet you daily. If you could only let your past go, let your guard down. I'm not going to let you go. I swear, I won't let you go. Trust that God wants to grow you daily. 1 Peter says, you must crave spiritual milk that you can grow in the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment like a baby cries out. Love this photo. Just cry out. Shelly and I did a Lamaze class together on how to give birth to our baby. And we learned that right after the baby's born, they clean them up and they clean out the airway. They hand that baby right to mom. The baby is literally hungry, crying for food. The baby's already wanting food. The process of feeding the baby has to take place right away. First few weeks, it's all it's going to do is sleep and cry for food. That's all it's going to do. Amen, Jericho? I see you back there. Baby's crying for food, craving nourishment. Spiritually, we're not any different. We've got to have food. We've got to have nourishment. ACC, this little church on the corner, and other churches here. Wonderful. Okay? Singing Waters. Wonderful group of believers. These are churches that are committed to helping you grow. We want to connect you. It can't happen unless you let your guard down. Like the song says. You need to take that next step. Let God grow you a little bit. Create a small group. Maybe one that you're comfortable with, but nonetheless real. A group that will share where you're at. And if you're already in one and you've not yet started to grow through using God's word, better check that group. Guys, I need to go here. You know why guys are not growing in their faith? There's several reasons, but number one on my list right here is this one right here. Just the image here. I mean everything. Video games, Comic-Con, porn. Where is the word? Where is the word? Find an app on your phone. If that's what it looks like doing God's word on your phone, I'm game. I have a funny feeling that's not what they're doing on their phone. I'm not coming across as your father. I'm just coming across to say, where is the word? Distractions are all over the place. Get real. Grow. And if your cell phone becomes a tool, that's fine. But if it becomes a distraction, do something about it. You got to discover your ministry potential. And it starts by putting away those sides and those childish ways, those things that are just distracting. Discovery means risk. It means adventure. There's a woman in this room who's made a very tough decision just recently. She's been pushed to that point and has made this decision and is crossing into another adventure in her life. It's a big one. And she's looking at this through the right eyes. There is an opportunity here through this personal and professional decision that I need to make. Guys, there's somebody in this room like that too. You have taken the risk. I am looking to discover something new out of this. I think it can work. And it will. Because you are going to begin looking at things differently. God is going to reward you with that. There will be discovery of what He wants to do in your life and what you're good at. And He'll put you in place. He does not want to grow you up and build you up just to make it strong for you. It's for Him and for His kingdom. That's the thing, is that discovery shows you what He has created in you for His benefit. Amen? The last thing is reach. Reach out to those in need. This church has really done a pretty good job of that. They really have. That's a strong component of this church, is serving the community. We have room to grow, as all churches do, but it's a big focus here. You know people that are in pain right now. You could list two or three. Guys that you know going through addiction, parents through a divorce, a girlfriend had a horrible backstabbing gossip situation. Step into it. Jot down two or three names. He wants to use you to reach people. For the Christians in this room that believe that Christianity is boring, literally, they have failed to see all the things that God has and has to offer. It never stops. It is not static. It is completely moving forward, always a bar to be raised. God is always trying to teach us something. I learn, and I will always learn. Leaders are learners. We've heard that before. He always wants to take us to the next level. Trust that God wants to grow you. It's part of His process. And this photo that you saw on the screen here about courage, it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage for you to step up and step out. And doggone it, if somebody's not going to follow you because you did it, who will be the leader? Who will take the risk? Others will follow you. Trust God's progress. Some of you thought, you mean process. No, progress. It's not our progress. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer, petition, thanksgiving, that's how we need to present requests to God. There is a certain way that He progresses us, and I think that it's wise to say, these are the right ingredients for approaching our Father. It's what it says in Philippians 4:6. Do this, do this, do this as you present things to God. We need to be thankful and pray that God would continue to build us up into the people He wants us to be. Psalms says this, let them praise the Lord for His great love, His wonderful deeds, and what He's doing. God is doing a great work. Here's Lauren Daigle again, and this is behind the scenes. What prompted her to approach John to do this duet? It's about a minute long. Check out her heart here, this window, quick.
When we were trying to decide which song to collaborate on, the lyrics of I Won't Let You Go stood out to me. I was walking through a time of uncertainty where I was kind of standing on the edge of, oh, I could walk a path that is comfortable and normal, or I could trust that God is in control and He's going to carry me even in places of risk. And these feelings that I was feeling internally were the exact feelings that John kind of pinned in those verses. And then the choruses are so reassuring and reaffirming of our placement in life. I think a lot of times we can look at circumstances and become overwhelmed with fear, or we could become overwhelmed with shame or regret, but knowing that you're held in those places brings a lot of assurance, and it was exactly what I needed at the time as well. So I'm really excited to be a part and to get to share my heart in the mix of this song.
When these people realize, hey, this is what's going on with me. It's a simple message, very simple, very powerful. That sounds like the Word of God, doesn't it? Very simple, and yet very powerful. The same message of salvation that a 3 or 5 year old to a 103 to a 105 year old man can get is the same simple message. God loves you. He sent His Son in our place. He has created a way to reconcile His relationship, to show you His love. It's easy to get comfortable, but this journey is one in which He wants to walk with you. And He has set up these parameters to say, I'm going to do this with you. And I care. And I say this in closing. As you check things in progress, and you're thankful, and you remind yourself of that. When you're a little kid growing up, you can never realize when you're growing. You can't see it happen. It's only when you look back and see how small you really were that you know you've grown. Right? You guys have seen Captain America? The first one? Who's that guy? Remember that girl that liked him, right? Whoa. Same way in her spiritual life. If you've ever lifted weights, you never notice yourself getting bigger. You'll stare a lot. But it doesn't matter where you start, how big or how small you are. If you're consistent, if you do it every day, you'll grow. If our worship team can come up. Just like your spiritual life, give it a shot for a month, a week. Hey, give it a shot for a year. Then you see somebody you haven't seen in a while. What do they say? Oh my gosh, you're huge. What, you've been lifting weights? And you realize you've made progress. Same thing, spiritually. Our good Father is working on us every day. He wants a relationship. He loves you. He wants to meet you every day, grow you. Incredible progress is there waiting to happen. You've got to trust Him. Live this life on your own power and on your own strength, and you will fail. With God, you'll have everything. Without Him, you'll have nothing. If we trust Him and live one day at a time, just make a resolution for today. You'll succeed. Let's pray. Our one last thought here is, trying to live on our own will ultimately lead back to frustration and pain. It's what we're trying to avoid. We want to maintain where we've already come. That is to live life that is outside of pain, to live life away from destructive patterns. Trust God, let His power help you live life to the fullest. As we're praying even right now through this, this is a matter of you and God. The good Father. And here on Father's Day, we say, Happy Heavenly Father's Day. You got this. You have done so well. Let me take you to lunch, God. I want your picture in my wallet. That's my dad. That's my dad. This happened to me, and he was there. This happened to me. He was there. I wish this had happened to me, and it didn't. But he was still there. You're that good Father. God, thank you so much for bringing each person here. My prayer is that there is somebody here that needed this message today. When we leave this place, we can know that when we try to live life on our own power, it's dead. It's not going to happen. But you love us so much. You give us your power to succeed in our individual lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. Would you bless us this week with the men in this room that have stepped up to the challenge of being a father? Understand, they are blessed men. They are blessed men. It's an opportunity, it's an honor, it's a privilege, but a great responsibility. I thank you for setting the example. Without you, we would just be lost. I remind each person in this room, there is a good Father. Regardless of your situation, you have one, and He loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.